Volume 1, Number 5 of the For the Strength of Youth magazine for May 2021. Contents: General Conference Highlights. President Russell M. Nelson, Welcome Message, Christ is Risen, Faith in Him Will Move Mountains, What We Are Learning and Will Never Forget, and COVID-19 and Temples. President Dallin H. Oaks, What Has Our Savior Done for Us? And Defending Our Divinely Inspired Constitution. President Henry B. Eyring, I Love to See the Temple and Bless in His Name. Elder Dieter F. Uchtdorf, God Among Us. Sister Joy D. Jones, Essential Conversations. Elder Gary E. Stevenson, Hearts Knit Together. Poster, Move Mountains. Elder Garrett W. Gong, Room in the Inn. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland, Not As the World Giveth. Elder Dale G. Renland, Infuriating Unfairness. Elder Neil L. Anderson, The Personal Journey of a Child of God. President M. Russell Ballard, Hope in Christ. Elder Quentin L. Cook, Bishops, Shepherds Over the Lord's Flock. Brother Ahmad S. Corbett, You Can Gather Israel. Elder Ulysses Suarez, Jesus Christ, the Caregiver of Our Soul. Sister Reina I. Aburto, The Grave Has No Victory. Elder Ronald A. Rasband, Behold, I Am a God of Miracles. Elder D. Todd Christofferson, Why the Covenant Path. And Elder David A. Bednar, The Principles of My Gospel. End of contents, read by Wes Nelson. Welcome to Conference. Welcome Message, President Russell M. Nelson. My dear brothers and sisters and friends throughout the world, I offer my personal welcome to this general conference. This last year has been one for the record books. No doubt we have each learned things we did not know previously. Some lessons that I knew before have been written on my heart in new and instructive ways. For example, I know for sure that the Lord directs the affairs of His church. I also understand better now what He meant when He said, Behold, I will hasten my work in its time. During this past year, many of you have dramatically increased the study of the gospel in your homes. I thank you, and your children will thank you. Part of the gathering of Israel, and a very important part, is the charge for us as a people to be worthy and willing to help prepare the world for the second coming of the Lord. As we listen to the messages that have been carefully prepared by our leaders under the direction of the Holy Ghost, I invite you to pray to identify the debris you should remove from your life so you can become more worthy. Welcome to General Conference and to the privilege of hearing the voice of the Lord. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by Wes Nelson.
Sunday morning session. President Russell M. Nelson, President of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Christ is risen. Faith in Him will move mountains. Faith in Jesus Christ is the foundation of all belief and the conduit of divine power. Everything good in life, every potential blessing of eternal significance, begins with faith. Allowing God to prevail in our lives begins with faith that He is willing to guide us. My dear brothers and sisters, my call to you this Easter morning is to start today to increase your faith. Through your faith, Jesus Christ will increase your ability to move the mountains in your life. Your mountains may be loneliness, doubt, illness, or other personal problems. Your mountains will vary, and yet the answer to each of your challenges is to increase your faith. May I offer 5 suggestions to help you develop that faith and trust? First, study. Second, choose to believe in Jesus Christ. Third, act in faith. Fourth, partake of sacred ordinances worthily. And fifth, ask your Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ for help. Faith in Jesus Christ is the greatest power available to us in this life. All things are possible to them that believe. See Mark 9, verse 23. Your growing faith in him will move mountains, not the mountains of rock that beautify the earth, but the mountains of misery in your lives. Your flourishing faith will help you turn challenges into unparalleled growth and opportunity. On this Easter Sunday, with my deep feelings of love and gratitude, I declare my witness that Jesus Christ is indeed risen. He is risen to lead his church. He is risen to bless the lives of all of God's children, wherever they live. With faith in him, we can move the mountains in our lives. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by Scott Christopher.
Priesthood Session: What We Are Learning and Will Never Forget. The last time we held a Priesthood Session of General Conference was April 2019. Much has happened in the past 2 years. May I suggest 4 lessons I hope we have all learned and will never forget? Lesson 1. The home is the center of faith and worship. Present restrictions on gathering will eventually end. However, your commitment to make your home your primary sanctuary of faith should never end. Lesson 2. We need each other. We can accomplish so much more together than we can alone. God's plan of happiness would be frustrated if his children remained isolated one from another. If you know of anyone who is alone, reach out, even if you feel alone too. Lesson 3. Your priesthood quorum is meant for more than just a meeting. Meetings are only a small part of what a quorum is meant for and what it can do. Quorums are in a unique position to accelerate the gathering of Israel on both sides of the veil. And lesson 4. We hear Jesus Christ better when we are still. Commotion in the world will continue to increase. In contrast, the voice of the Lord is a still voice of perfect mildness, like a whisper, and it pierces even to the very soul. In order to hear this still voice, you too must be still. My dear brethren, there are many things the Lord wants us to learn from our experiences during this pandemic. I have listed only 4. I invite you to make your own list, consider it carefully, and share it with those you love. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by Wes Nelson.
COVID-19 and temples. Early last year, because of the COVID-19 pandemic and our desire to be good global citizens, we made the difficult decision to close all temples temporarily. During the ensuing months, we have felt inspired to reopen temples gradually through a very cautious approach. Temples are now being opened in 4 phases, adhering strictly to local government regulations and safety protocols. We are grateful for your patience and devoted service during this changing and challenging period. I pray that your desire to worship and serve in the temple burns more brightly now than ever. You may be wondering when you will be able to return to the temple. Answer: your temple will be open when local government regulations allow it. Meanwhile, keep your temple covenants and blessings foremost in your minds and hearts. Stay true to the covenants you have made. We are building now for the future. We want to bring the house of the Lord even closer to our members, that they may have the sacred privilege of attending the temple as often as their circumstances allow. Temples are a vital part of the restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ in its fullness. Ordinances of the temple fill our lives with power and strength available in no other way. We thank God for those blessings. 20 new temples announced: Oslo, Norway; Brussels, Belgium; Vienna, Austria; Kumasi, Ghana; Beira, Mozambique; Cape Town, South Africa; Singapore, Republic of Singapore; Belo Horizonte, Brazil; Cali, Colombia; Querétaro, Mexico; Torreón, Mexico; Helena, Montana; Casper, Wyoming; Grand Junction, Colorado; Farmington, New Mexico; Burley, Idaho; Eugene, Oregon; Elko, Nevada; Yorba Linda, California; Smithfield, Utah. read by Austin Peterson.
Priesthood Session. President Dallin H. Oaks, First Counselor in the First Presidency. What has our Savior done for us? What has Jesus Christ done for each of us? He has done everything that is essential for our journey through mortality toward the destiny outlined in the plan of our Heavenly Father. I will speak of four of the principal features of that plan. The resurrection gives us the perspective and the strength to endure the mortal challenges faced by each of us and those we love. It gives us a new way to view the physical, mental, or emotional deficiencies we have at birth or acquire during mortal life. It gives us the strength to endure sorrows, failures, and frustrations. The resurrection also gives us powerful incentive to keep the commandments of God during our mortal lives. Our Savior and Redeemer endured incomprehensible suffering to become a sacrifice for the sins of all mortals who would repent. This atoning sacrifice offered the ultimate good, the pure lamb without blemish, for the ultimate measure of evil, the sins of the entire world. Jesus taught us the plan of salvation. This plan includes the creation, the purpose of life, the necessity of opposition, and the gift of agency. He also taught us the commandments and covenants we must obey and the ordinances we must experience to take us back to our heavenly parents. Our Savior feels and knows our temptations, our struggles, our heartaches, and our sufferings, for He willingly experienced them all as part of His atonement. All who suffer any kind of mortal infirmities should remember that our Savior experienced that kind of pain also, and that through His atonement, He offers each of us the strength to bear it. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by Rick Gines.
Sunday afternoon session. Defending our divinely inspired Constitution. In this troubled time, I have felt to speak about the inspired Constitution of the United States. This Constitution is of special importance to our members in the United States, but it is also a common heritage of constitutions around the world. Our belief in divine inspiration gives Latter-day Saints a unique responsibility to uphold and defend the United States Constitution and principles of constitutionalism wherever we live. We should trust in the Lord and have faith in and be positive about this nation's future. What else are faithful Latter-day Saints to do? We must pray for the Lord to guide and bless all nations and their leaders. This is part of our article of faith. Being subject to presidents or rulers, of course, poses no obstacle to our opposing individual laws or policies. It does require that we exercise our influence civilly and peacefully within the framework of our constitutions and applicable laws. On contested issues, we should seek to moderate and unify. There are other duties that are part of upholding the inspired Constitution. We should learn and advocate the inspired principles of the Constitution. We should seek out and support wise and good persons who will support those principles in their public actions. We should be knowledgeable citizens who are active in making our influence felt in civic affairs. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by Wes Nelson.
President Henry B. Eyring, Second Counselor in the First Presidency. I love to see the temple. I know that temples of the Lord are holy places. My purpose today in speaking of temples is to increase your desire and mine to be worthy and ready for the increased opportunities for temple experiences that are coming for us. If you or I should go to the temple insufficiently pure, we would not be able to see, by the power of the Holy Ghost, the spiritual teaching about the Savior that we can receive in the temple. When we are worthy to receive such teaching, there can grow through our temple experience hope, joy, and optimism throughout our lives. That hope, joy, and optimism are available only through accepting the ordinances performed in holy temples. It is in the temple that we can receive the assurance of loving family connections that will continue after death and last for eternity. And we know that our eternal happiness depends on our doing our best to offer the same lasting happiness to as many of our kindred as we can. I feel the same desire to succeed in inviting living family members to desire to become worthy to receive and to honor the sealing ordinances of the temple. That is part of the promised gathering of Israel in the last days on both sides of the veil. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by Gene Nelson.
Priesthood Session. Bless in His name. The purpose for our receiving the priesthood is to allow us to bless people for the Lord, doing so in His name. It was years after I was a deacon when I learned what that means practically. For instance, as a high priest, I was assigned to visit a care center sacrament meeting. I was asked to pass the sacrament. Instead of thinking about the process or precision in the way I passed the sacrament, I instead looked in the faces of each elderly person. I saw many of them weeping. One lady grabbed my sleeve, looked up, and said aloud, "Oh, thank you. Thank you." The Lord had blessed my service given in His name. That day I had prayed for such a miracle to come instead of praying for how well I might do my part. I prayed that the people would feel the Lord's love through my loving service. I have learned this is the key to serving and blessing others in His name. I believe that we can magnify our priesthood service over our lifetime and perhaps beyond. It will depend on our diligence in trying to know the Lord's will and our efforts to hear His voice so that we can know better what He wants for the person we are serving for Him. That magnification will come in small steps. It may come slowly, but it will come. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by Wes Nelson.
Saturday Morning Session. Elder Dieter F. Uchtdorf of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. God Among Us. When we feel insignificant, cast off, and forgotten, we learn that we may be assured that God has not forgotten us. In fact, that He offers to all His children something unimaginable: to become heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Because of Jesus Christ, our failures do not have to define us. They can refine us. If we repent, mistakes do not disqualify us. They are part of our progress. I often have wondered, what would Jesus teach and do if He were among us today? The Savior always teaches timeless truths. They apply to people of every age and in any circumstance. His message was and is a message of hope and belonging, a testimony that God, our Heavenly Father, has not abandoned His children, that God is among us. As we seek to follow Jesus Christ and walk the path of discipleship, line upon line, the day will come that we will experience that unimaginable gift of receiving a fullness of joy. I extend to you my love and blessing at this joyful Easter season. Open your hearts to our Savior and Redeemer, no matter your circumstances, trials, sufferings, or mistakes. You can know that He lives, that He loves you, and that because of Him, you will never be alone. God is among us. Read by Austin Peterson.
Sister Joy D. Jones, former Primary General President. Essential Conversations. We cannot wait for conversion to simply happen to our children. Accidental conversion is not a principle of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Becoming like our Savior will not happen randomly. Being intentional in loving, teaching, and testifying can help children begin at a young age to feel the influence of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is essential to our children's testimony of and conversion to Jesus Christ. consider the value of family conversations about the gospel of Jesus Christ, essential conversations that can invite the Spirit. When we have such conversations with our children, we help them create a foundation, which is a sure foundation, a foundation whereon, if they build, they cannot fall. Helaman 5:12. These vital discussions can lead children to understand the doctrine of repentance, have faith in Christ, the Son of the living God, choose baptism and the gift of the Holy Ghost when 8 years old, and pray and walk uprightly before the Lord. Doctrine and Covenants 68:28. As children learn and progress, their beliefs will be challenged. But as they are properly equipped, they can grow in faith, courage, and confidence, even in the midst of strong opposition. Alma taught us to prepare the minds of the children, Alma 39:16. We are preparing the rising generation to be the future defenders of the faith, to understand that they are free to act for themselves, to choose the way of everlasting death or the way of eternal life, 2 Nephi 10:23. Children deserve to understand this great truth. Eternity is the wrong thing to be wrong about. May our simple yet essential conversations with our children help them to enjoy the words of eternal life now, so that they may enjoy eternal life in the world to come, even immortal glory. Moses 6:59. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by April Johnson.
Elder Gary E. Stevenson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Hearts Knit Together. When asked, "Master, which is the great commandment?" the Savior replied, "To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart," followed by, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." The Savior's response reinforces our heavenly duty. An ancient prophet commanded that there should be no contention one with another, but that we should look forward, having our hearts knit together in unity and in love one towards another. Now, for young men and young women, as you grow older, making fun of others can evolve very dangerously. Anxiety, depression, and worse are often the companion of bullying. Clearly, the adversary is using this to hurt your generation. There is no place for this in your cyberspace, neighborhoods, schools, quorums, or classes. Please do all you can to make these places kinder and safer. As you extend yourself with kindness, care, and compassion, even digitally, I promise that you will lift up arms that hang down and will heal hurts. Let each of us, no matter our age, strive to be our best. As you strive to extend yourself in love, respect, and kindness, you will undoubtedly be hurt or negatively affected by the bad choices of others. What do we do then? We follow the Lord's admonition to love your enemies and pray for them which despitefully use you. When adversity and affliction are brought upon us by critical, negative, even mean-spirited acts, we can choose to hope in Christ. This hope comes from his invitation and promise to be of good cheer, for I will lead you along, and that he will consecrate your afflictions for your gain. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by Wes Nelson.
Elder Garrett W. Gong of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Room in the Inn. In this Easter season, Jesus Christ invites us to become, like him, a good Samaritan, to make his inn, his church, a refuge for all from life's bruises and storms. As we come with the good Samaritan to the inn, we learn 5 things about Jesus Christ and ourselves. First, we come to the inn as we are, with the foibles and imperfections we each have. Yet, we all have something needed to contribute. Our journey to God is often found together. Second, he entreats us to make his inn a place of grace and space where each can gather with room for all. As disciples of Jesus Christ, all are equal with no second-class groups. Third, in his inn, we learn perfection is in Jesus Christ, not in the perfectionism of the world. He invites each of us to be a good Samaritan, less judgmental and more forgiving of ourselves and of each other. Fourth, at his inn, we become part of a gospel community centered in Jesus Christ, anchored in restored truth, living prophets and apostles, and another testament of Jesus Christ, the Book of Mormon. He brings us to his inn and also to his house, the Holy Temple. Finally, fifth, we rejoice that God loves his children in our different backgrounds and circumstances, in every nation, kindred, and tongue, with room for all in his inn. Our Good Samaritan promises to return. Miracles occur when we care for each other as he would. Read by Austin Peterson.
Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, Not as the World Giveth. Violence and conflict will be a signature characteristic of relationships in the last days. Brothers and sisters, we do see too much conflict, anger, and general incivility around us. This Easter, let's try to practice peace in a personal way, applying the grace and healing balm of the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ to ourselves and our families, and all those we can reach around us. We need what the scriptures call the powers of heaven, and to access these powers, we must live by what these same scriptures call principles of righteousness. The principles of righteousness included such virtues as patience, long-suffering, gentleness, and love unfeigned. Absent those principles, it was certain we would eventually face discord and enmity. Tomorrow is Easter, a time for the righteous principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ and his atonement to pass over. Pass over conflict and contention. Pass over despair and transgression. And ultimately, pass over death. In spite of betrayal and pain, mistreatment and cruelty, and bearing all the accumulated sins and sorrows of the human family, the Son of the Living God looked down the long path of mortality, saw us this weekend, and said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Have a blessed, joyful, and peaceful Easter. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by Wes Nelson.
Elder Dale G. Renland of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Jesus Christ both understands unfairness and has the power to provide a remedy. Infuriating unfairness. Suffering and brutal unfairness can seem incompatible with the reality of a kind, loving Heavenly Father. Yet He is real, He is kind, and He loves each of His children perfectly. Some unfairness cannot be explained. Inexplicable unfairness is infuriating. Mortal life is inherently unfair. I declare with all my aching heart that Jesus Christ both understands unfairness and has the power to provide a remedy. He understands perfectly what we are experiencing. In the eternities, Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ will resolve all unfairness. We understandably want to know how and when. How are they going to do that? When are they going to do it? To my knowledge, they have not revealed how or when. What I do know is that they will. We can try to hold our questions about how and when for later and focus on developing faith in Jesus Christ. As we develop faith in Jesus Christ, we should also strive to become like Him. We then approach others with compassion
and try to alleviate unfairness where we find it. Do not let unfairness harden you or corrode your faith in God. Instead, ask God for help. Increase your appreciation for and reliance on the Savior. Your faith in Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ will be rewarded more than you can imagine. All unfairness, especially infuriating unfairness, will be consecrated for your gain. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by Scott Christopher.
Elder Neil L. Anderson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. The Personal Journey of a Child of God. Each person who comes to earth is a unique son or daughter of God. Our personal journey did not begin at birth. Before we were born, we were together in a world of preparation where we received our first lessons in the world of spirits. Doctrine and Covenants, section 138, verse 56. As covenant children of God, we love, honor, nurture, safeguard, and welcome those spirits who are coming from the premortal world. President Gordon B. Hinckley said, "Abortion is an evil which is sweeping over the earth." Let us share our deep feelings about the sanctity of life with those who make decisions in society. They may not fully appreciate what we believe, but we pray that they will more fully understand why, for us, these decisions go well beyond just what a person wants for his or her own life. I testify that your own personal journey as a child of God did not begin for you as the first flow of earth's air came rushing into your lungs, and it will not end when you take your last breath of mortality. May we always remember that each spirit child of God is coming to earth on his or her own personal journey. May we welcome them, safeguard them, and always love them. As you receive these precious children in the Savior's name and help them in their eternal journey, I promise you that the Lord will bless you and shower his love and approval upon you. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by Richard Gramillion.
President M. Russell Ballard, Acting President of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Hope in Christ. Brothers and sisters, at this Easter time, we focus on the glorious resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We remember his loving invitation to "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. The Savior's invitation to come unto him is an invitation to all, not only to come unto him, but also to belong to his church. Jesus wants us to know God is a loving Heavenly Father. Knowing that we are loved by our Heavenly Father will help us know who we are and know that we belong to his great eternal family. Despite the challenges we face in life, we can, like on that first Easter morning, awake to a new life in Christ, with new and marvelous possibilities and new realities as we turn to the Lord for hope and belonging. I speak of hope in Christ not as wishful thinking. Instead, I speak of hope as an expectation that will be realized. Such hope is essential to overcoming adversity, fostering spiritual resilience and strength, and coming to know that we are loved by our eternal Father and that we are his children who belong to his family. Never forget that you are a child of God, our eternal Father, now and forever. He loves you, and the church wants and needs you. Yes, we need you. We need your voices, talents, skills, goodness, and righteousness. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. read by Gene Nelson.
Elder Quinton L. Cook of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. Bishops, shepherds over the Lord's flock. The bishop has a paramount role in serving as a shepherd to guide the rising generation, including young single adults, to Jesus Christ. You might ask, why is the bishop directed to spend so much time with the youth? The Lord has organized his church to accomplish crucial priorities. Accordingly, the organization of his church has a structure in which the bishop has a dual responsibility. He has doctrinal responsibility for the ward as a whole, but he also has specific doctrinal responsibility for the priest quorum. Many of you precious young people may not have a clear vision of who you are and who you can become. Yet, you are at the threshold of the most important decisions you will make in your lives. Please counsel with both your parents and your bishop about important choices that are ahead of you. Allow the bishop to be your friend and counselor. We are aware that you have trials and temptations coming at you from every direction. We all need to repent daily, as President Nelson has taught. Please talk to your bishop about any matter in which a common judge can assist you in getting your life in order with the Lord in preparation for the great work he has for you in this final dispensation. As President Nelson has invited you, please qualify yourself to be part of the Lord's Youth Battalion. Read by Austin Peterson.
Brother Ahmad S. Corbett, First Counselor in the Young Men General Presidency. You can gather Israel. Almost 3 years ago, President Russell M. Nelson invited all youth of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to enlist in the Lord's Youth Battalion to help gather Israel on both sides of the veil. He said, "That gathering is the most important thing taking place on earth today. I am absolutely sure you youth can do this and do it very well because of, one, something about your identity, and two, an enormous power within you." According to the book of Revelation, there was war in heaven. Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 and 8. Satan cunningly deceived a third part of Heavenly Father's spirit children into letting him prevail instead of God. But not you. The Apostle John saw that you overcame Satan by the power of your testimony. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Knowing you overcame Satan by the word of your testimony before will help you love, share, and invite now and always to invite others to come and see, come and help, and come and belong, as that same war for the souls of God's children rages on. The Children and Youth Program is a prophetic tool to help you youth power up your great faith. As you youth lead in living the gospel, caring for others, inviting all to receive the gospel, uniting families for eternity, and organizing fun activities, the great faith in Christ you had in the pre-mortal life will resurface and empower you to do His work in this life. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by Gene Nelson.
Elder Ulysses Suarez of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. Jesus Christ, the caregiver of our soul. My heart rejoices upon remembering the most marvelous, the most majestic, the most immeasurable act that has occurred in all of human history, the atoning sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ graciously fulfilled the will of the Father through His infinite and merciful sacrifice. He overcame the sting of physical and spiritual death introduced to the world through the fall, offering us the glorious possibility of eternal salvation. While through His sacrifice the Savior unconditionally removed the effects of physical death, He did not eliminate our personal responsibility to repent for the sins we commit. My dear friends, I testify to you that as we genuinely repent of our sins, we allow the atoning sacrifice of Christ to become wholly effective in our life. In addition to providing the majestic gift of salvation, the Savior offers us relief and comfort as we face our afflictions, temptations, and weaknesses of mortal life, including the circumstances we have experienced recently in the current pandemic. As we draw nearer to Him, surrendering ourselves spiritually to His care, we will be able to take upon ourselves His yoke, which is easy, and His burden, which is light, thus finding that promised comfort and rest. Furthermore, we will receive the strength we all need to overcome the hardships, weaknesses, and sorrows of life, which are exceedingly difficult to endure without His help and healing power. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by Richard Gramillion.
Sister Raina I. Oberto, Second Counselor in the Relief Society General Presidency. The grave has no victory. At some point in our lives, we will have felt heartbroken after losing someone whom we love dearly. Through the current global pandemic, many of us have lost loved ones, either family members or friends. We pray for those who are grieving such loss. We can imagine how Jesus' friends, who had followed Him and ministered to Him, felt upon witnessing His death. We know that they mourned and wept. Mark chapter 16, verse 10. When I was 9 years old, I lost my older brother during a devastating earthquake. Because it happened unexpectedly, it took me a while to grasp the reality of what had occurred. I was heartbroken by sorrow, and I would ask myself, what happened to my brother? Where is he? Where did he go? Will I ever see him again? About 40 years later, during Easter time, I was pondering about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and started thinking about my brother. That day, I realized that the Spirit had given me comfort in a difficult time. I had received a witness that my brother's spirit is not dead. He is alive. He is still progressing in his eternal existence. I now know that my brother shall rise again, at that magnificent moment when, because of Jesus Christ's resurrection, we will all be resurrected. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by Amanda Saria.
Elder Ronald A. Rasband of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Behold, I am a God of miracles. Miracles, signs, and wonders abound among followers of Jesus Christ today, in your lives and in mine. Miracles are divine acts, manifestations, and expressions of God's limitless power, and an affirmation that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Moroni, chapter 10, verse 19. Jesus Christ, who created the seas, can calm them. He who gave sight to the blind can lift our sights to heaven. He who cleansed the lepers can mend our infirmities. He who healed the impotent man can call for us to rise up with, "Come follow me." Luke chapter 18, verse 22. Many of you have witnessed miracles, more than you realize. They may seem small in comparison to Jesus raising the dead, but the magnitude does not distinguish a miracle, only that it came from God. There are times we hope for a miracle to heal a loved one, to reverse an unjust act, or to soften the heart of a bitter or disillusioned soul. Looking at things through mortal eyes, we want the Lord to intervene, to fix what is broken. Through faith, the miracle will come, though not necessarily on our timetable or with the resolution we desired. The Lord has reminded us, "Neither are your ways my ways," Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. He offers, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Rest from worry, disappointment, fear, disobedience, concern for loved ones, for lost or broken dreams. Peace amidst confusion or sorrow is a miracle. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by Richard Gramillion.
Elder D. Todd Christofferson of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. Stay on the Covenant Path. Why the Covenant Path? What is the Covenant Path? It is the one path that leads to the celestial kingdom of God. We embark upon the path at the gate of baptism. Some might say, I can make good choices with or without baptism. I don't need covenants to be an honorable and successful person. What, then, is the difference of the covenant path? Actually, the difference is uniquely and eternally significant. First is the nature of our obedience to God. More than simply having good intentions, we solemnly commit to live by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. In this, we follow the example of Jesus Christ. A second unique aspect of the covenant path is our relationship with deity. The covenants God offers to his children do more than guide us. They bind us to him. This leads us to consideration of a third special blessing of the covenant path. God provides an almost incomprehensible gift to help covenant makers be covenant keepers, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Fourth, those pursuing the covenant path also find singular blessings in various divinely appointed gatherings, such as sacrament meetings and temple worship. Finally, it is only in pursuing the covenant path that we inherit the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the ultimate blessings of salvation and exaltation that only God can give. Let us heed the prophet's call to stay on the covenant path. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by Scott Christopher.
Elder David A. Bednar of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. The Principles of My Gospel, Doctrine and Covenants, Section 42, Verse 12. A gospel principle is a doctrinally based guideline for the righteous exercise of moral agency. Principles derive from broader gospel truths and provide direction and standards as we press forward on the covenant path. Learning, understanding, and living gospel principles strengthen our faith in the Savior, deepen our devotion to Him, and invite a multitude of blessings and spiritual gifts into our lives. Principles of righteousness also help us to look beyond our personal preferences and self-centered desires by providing the precious perspective of eternal truth as we navigate the different circumstances, challenges, decisions, and experiences of mortality. When Joseph Smith was imprisoned in Liberty Jail, he wrote letters of instruction to church members and leaders and reminded them that a very large ship is benefited very much by a very small helm in the time of a storm. By being kept workways with the wind and the waves. A helm is a wheel or tiller, and the associated equipment used to steer a ship or boat. And workways with the wind and the waves denotes turning a ship so that it maintains its balance and does not capsize during a storm. Gospel principles are for me and you what a helm is to a ship. Correct principles enable us to find our way and to stand firm, steadfast, and immovable, so we do not lose our balance and fall in the raging Latter-day storms of darkness and confusion. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by Wes Nelson.